Practice 1. You'll hear a telephone conversation about accommodation. Now you have some time to look at questions 1 to 6. Now listen carefully and answer the questions 1 to 6.
Good morning, Country Comfort Aubrey.
Oh, hi. I'd like some information, please. I'd like to find a double room to stay for the weekend. What kinds of rooms do you have?
Well, we provide a variety range of accommodation depending upon your likes. The guesthouse room costs $45 per night. It provides air conditioning and shower, and the waterfront room costs $80 per night.
It sounds good. What facility is there for waterfront room? Balcony, I think?
Yes, it's got its own balcony overlooking the foreshore of the lake. The view from there is really terrific.
Good. We've got a kid. How do you charge for child?
Extra bedding is available if you require that. If the kid is aged 12 and below, the cost is $10 per night for guesthouse room and $15 for waterfront room.
Do you have a swimming pool, tennis court, or something like that?
Yes, we've got a swimming pool, which is free for all the guests. But the tennis court charges $8 per hour, including the rent of rackets.
How about other facilities?
We provide free off-street car parking and internet access, of course, but that costs $4 per hour.
Oh, I think that's good. Now look at questions 7 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer the questions 7 to 10.
Well, we also offer ironing equipment in the room. That's useful, I think.
Great. Could you tell me the address? How do we get there?
Yes, it's Country Comfort Aubrey at 648 Dean Street, New South Wales.
648 Dean Street. D-E-A-N. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, I wonder what activities are available there in this season. You know, we want to have an indulgent weekend in the boring winter.
Oh, you'll not get bored here. First, we installed in-housing movies, which provide excellent plays and dramas.
Well, we don't think we need that because of the kid, you know. We don't want him to see movies on the weekend.
Then Aubrey is the perfect base for alpine skiing. Besides that, winter's frosty alpine air encourages walks through mist-laden valleys. You can walk alongside rushing streams and waterfalls. After returning to the warm and comfortable lounge, you can sit by open fire. I think this is the ideal time of year to nourish your body at the Salus Spa.
The idea of skiing doesn't appeal to me very much, but it sounds good to have a relaxing walk through the valleys. Maybe after that I'll have a massage and some soaking in the spa.
And you know, this hotel is perfectly located in a quiet position off the main highway in central Aubrey. It is within walking distance of licensed clubs, restaurants, shops and the central business district. It is known for its excellent cuisine and warm Australian hospitality.
Good. It's a good idea to savour the tasty dishes in one of the restaurants. My wife may be interested in shopping. She's always keen on that. I think I'll contact you later. Thank you very much. Practice 2. You'll hear a telephone conversation between a customer and a train inquiry assistant. First, you'll have some time to look at questions 1 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 10.
Hello, National Train Inquiry Line. Can I help you?
Yes, please. I'd like to find out information about trains out of the town.
Fine. I can give you lots of details about all the trains from Tree Birch. We've got two main train stations in the town. King Street is for local commuter lines and regional services.
What about trains to Manchester? I'll need to go there on business for one day.
Then you need to go to Central Station. That's for all the national services. They're regular trains to Manchester. They leave here every half hour on weekdays and every hour at weekends. It takes about 2 hours, a bit longer on Sundays.
What class is available now?
You've got a choice of first and second class, and there's a buffet car, though refreshments are included in the cost of a first class ticket.
All right. And have you got any information on different ticket type?
Yes. There's a range of ticket prices depending on when you travel and when you buy your ticket. There's an Apex Super Saver ticket, which is the cheapest. You need to book at least 14 days before you travel. That costs £33.50. You can travel on the day you like, Friday, Saturday or Sunday.
OK. And what happens if I want to leave before 9 a.m?
If you can book 7 days in advance, then you can buy an Apex Peak Saver. That costs £41.30. But if you can't do that, the next cheapest ticket is the Standard Saver, which costs £54 return.
So it's £41.30 if I book 7 days in advance?
Yes.
And £45 if I don't?
No, it's £54 for this type. This can be bought in advance or on the day.
Oh, okay.
If you can travel on different day from Friday of the week, then we have the off-peak saver at £38.
But I can't travel on Friday for that fare.
That's right.
Practice 3. You'll hear a conversation between David and Claudia about their holiday trip. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 5. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 5. Well, Claudia, our first semester at university is almost over. I can't wait for the holidays.
Me too. Why don't we go somewhere far away and forget about lectures and essays and all that hard work?
Sounds good to me. How about if we go to the coast? It would be great to do some swimming and surfing.
The coast would be good, but let's look at our other options. There are the mountains. They're nice and cool at this time of year. There's also the desert, which I really enjoyed last year.
What about going to Sydney? I've never been there and they say it's a great city to visit.
I agree, Sydney would be good, but there are too many tourists there at this time of year. And I'd rather get away from buildings and cars. I vote for the mountains.
All right then, let's do that. Now we have to decide where we're going to stay and how we're going to get there. Any suggestions?
Well, for places to stay, there are the usual places. Motels, hotels and youth hostels. We can go camping too.
I'm afraid I'm not a good camper. I tend to feel a bit frightened sleeping outdoors.
All right, we'll forget about camping. So what do you prefer?
Well, since neither of us has a lot of money, I don't think a hotel or motel would be possible. How about a youth hostel?
I'd rather not go to a youth hostel. They're cramped and noisy, and the person in the bed next to you might be a snorer. No, I think we should find a small holiday house to rent. And if we get a few more friends to join us, it will be really cheap.
OK, you know, it's the first time for me to travel to mountains. What do you suggest to take? Mosquito net, I guess.
Mosquito net is useful, but I don't want to add more weight to our luggage. So the insect repellent can do, I think. Besides, aspirins are necessary and some cold cure in case if we feel sick or something like this.
Do you think we need binoculars and a camera?
Well, it would be a good idea to take binoculars. As to a camera, I won't take it. I'd rather record the scenes in my mind.
You're right. What about the money? How much do you think is enough and how we should take it?
I've learnt from a friend about the cost. He told me that they spent about $480 for 1 week's tour, so I think $500 would be enough. We may need over $300 for the house. Have you got a traveller's cheque?
No, I haven't, but I've got a credit card and a saving card.
Then take the credit cards with us. It would be convenient to pay the house fees with credit card.
Now look at questions 6 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer questions 6 to 10. Oh, I nearly forget the date. How long will we have before we have to be back here on campus?
Under a week, I think. We'll leave on the 14th of April and come back on 21st, because you know we'll start the study on 22nd.
Do you know the definite locations of some holiday houses? I suppose it would be nice if we book in advance.
Yes, look at this brochure here. It says there are several holiday houses near the mountains. I prefer the one near the woods. It is situated right across the road from the Rainforest Park.
That sounds good. We can go easily to the Rainforest Park then. Do you know what else we can do there besides visiting the park?
I know that many people go there for bushwalking, but you need a good pair of walking boots, of course.
Are there any dangers in the bushes? I'm a little frightened.
In fact, there's no need to be nervous of the bushes, provided that you treat it with respect and common sense. Most of the animals and wildlife are gentle and harmless. There are venomous snakes to be aware of, but really they're much more frightened of you than you are aware are of them. The other thing is that certain plants can cause irritation if you touch them with bare skin.
I see. Well, I can't wait for the coming holiday.
Practice 4. You'll hear a commentary about the city of Ballarat. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 10.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Great Southern Touring Routes. Here I'm going to introduce our first stop, the City of Gold, Ballarat. Ballarat is about 100 kilometres northwest of Melbourne. It has become famous since 1951, when gold was discovered in this area. The miners digging gold there increased from 1,000 to 20,000 in 2 years, by 20-fold. With the huge population and wealth, Ballarat was for a time the largest township in Victoria. By the early 1850s, the government in Melbourne has set up a system. Gold licences to allow miners to search for gold. The licence fee was 30 shillings per week, regardless whether gold was found or not. If found without a licence, the digger was forced to pay a fine of 15 shillings or be chained to a log until the fine was paid. That caused the notable Eureka Rebellion in 1854. But the direct reason was the murder of James Scobie, a famous worker leader. The battle lasted for about 15 minutes, in which 22 miners were killed. This event is considered a defining moment in Australia's history. On the site of Eureka Hotel, a historical park, and a memorial were built in memory of the rebellion. The remains of the original Eureka flag are on public display in the Ballarat Fine Art Gallery. During the last 50 years of the 19th century, Ballarat developed on gold mining. It was proclaimed a city in 1871. The railway came to town in 1862, when the gold rush nearly diminished. Many of the mines had declined and companies were formed to start much deeper mining. With the coming of railway, many more opportunities were opened. The period from the 1880s to the early 20th century witnessed a successful transition from a gold rush town to an industrial city. Throughout the 20th century, many industries and workshops made successful transition into engineering and manufacturing. Many of them even expanded toward Melbourne. By now, the town is supported by industries such as flour mills and agriculture-related companies. In 1930, an airport was established in Ballarat. During World War II, the airport was expanded and consisted of three sealed runways. This site is now listed on the Victorian Heritage Register for its social and historical significance. After the war, Ballarat expanded significantly to the northwest. A bad post-war housing shortage happened during the next decade, but it was later eased with the establishment of an extensive housing commission of Victoria. From the late 1970s and early 1980s, urban growth slowed in the city. Ballarat is notable for its very wide boulevards. The main street is Sturt Street and is considered among one of the finest main avenues in Australia. Now the city is linked direct to Melbourne by a combination of state highway and dual carriageway freeway. Regular rail services on the Ballarat line from Ballarat Railway Station run to Melbourne. So our next stop will be Melbourne, the capital of Victoria. Practice 5. You'll hear a radio programme about the city Brisbane. First, you'll have some time to look at questions 1 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 10.
Today in our Around the World programme, Mr. White is going to recommend a charming city to you, Brisbane.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever been to Brisbane? Well, if you're looking for a mild climate, a relaxed atmosphere and a lot of culture, Brisbane might be the place for you. Its sunny cafes and offshore islands attract surfers and sun lovers. But it is also the arts capital of Queensland, with many museums and art galleries. This thriving artistic setting mixes well with Brisbane's beach town atmosphere. Together, these two qualities make Brisbane a very desirable place to live. No wonder since 1980, over 500,000 Australians have moved here. Brisbane is now Australia's third largest city. English settlers living in Australia established Brisbane in 1842. At that time, more than 100,000 Aboriginal Australians were living in Queensland. As the settlers discovered Queensland's resources, more and more of them moved in. Regretfully, the settlers drove the Aboriginal Australians from their lands. By 1859, Brisbane had grown into a prosperous city. In 1988, the world watched as Brisbane hosted the World Expo. This international fair showcased new technology, but it also showed off the city of Brisbane to the world. Brisbane also hosts a wide range of events year-round. In April, everyone can enjoy a few laughs at the Comedy Festival, and movie lovers will enjoy a film festival that takes place every August. For 2 weeks in September, there is an outdoor festival of the arts. In October, a music festival draws a large crowd. And in January, you can see Brisbane's most bizarre event. You may be surprised to hear that the annual cockroach races. That's right, people really do train and race cockroaches. Brisbane's nice climate and compact design make it easy to explore on foot. Follow the golden arrows in the footpath around the city centre. This will lead you on a tour of Brisbane's historical district. From the city centre, take a boat across the Brisbane River to South Bank. This area is popular for its bike paths, beach and weekend market. Hundreds of artists display their wares at this market. It's a great place to pick up some interesting handicrafts. Well, I think what you must be interested in is the unique native animals. Yes, you shouldn't visit Australia without seeing its trademark animals, the koala and kangaroo. The Lone Pine Koala Sanctuary has both. It is located just outside the city centre, in beautiful parkland. You can hold one of the park's 130 koalas or feed the kangaroos. Another quiet refuge from the city is Mount Coot-Tha, about 8 kilometres from Brisbane. On a clear day, it offers spectacular views of the city. It also has hiking trails and beautiful gardens. Along the Brisbane River, a sunset cruise is also very relaxing. The areas around Brisbane are impressive. A coastal drive south of Brisbane will take you along the Gold Coast. This famous coastline boasts some of Australia's best beaches. Stradbroke Island is another easy day trip from Brisbane. A cliff on the island, called Point Lookout, offers a great view. From there you can see dolphins swimming below. Brisbane Forest Park, to the north of Brisbane, is a great place for hiking and camping. These great getaways, along with Brisbane's own laid-back charm, make this city an ideal place to visit.